With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That means our guy Tom Hauser, the best political reporter in the state of Minnesota, is here. Tom is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Good to chat with you, my friend. Let's get to the first one. How in the hell do we have $17.6 billion as a surplus? How has this happened?
Well, that's a great question. I wish I had a ready answer for you. I do not. But, you know, part of it is the state did take in a lot of federal money during the pandemic. Some of the state's costs were lower during the pandemic because, you know, of various reasons. Everything was shut down for a while. So of the $17.6 billion, $12 billion of it roughly is money in the bank, so to speak. It's not projected surplus. It's money we've collected, and it's sitting there waiting to be directed somewhere. And then there's another roughly 5.5 or 5.6 billion that is new projected surplus. A lot of it has to do with income tax collections. We have very low unemployment, 2.1% unemployment rate right now. And when people are working, they're paying income tax, and suddenly, and again, I don't know exactly how it has totaled up to $17.6 billion. But again, remember, a lot of that is because the previous surplus was not dealt with.
Sure.
We sat on it, and so it's just been added. It's not like $17.6 billion in this 1 2-year budget projection.
Will we ever know how much of this money is from federal funds which were directed to all the states and obviously Minnesota?
Well, you know, to be honest, most of the money, the way I understand it, is money that is state money that did not have to be spent because the federal government took care of so many obligations during the pandemic. So it's still technically state money, but the reason we were able to hold on to it is because the federal government was picking up the tab for so many things. That, of course, has come to an end. So we can't expect this to be happening, you know, year after year. Another thing to keep in mind is that on the spending side of these projections, they do not account for inflation.
About 20 years ago, that
was taken out of the equation. So essentially what they do is they take, you know, how much money was spent in the previous 2 years, and that's roughly how much we think you're going to spend in the next 2 years. And they don't add in the fact that there's been inflation. Now, when we had 2% inflation rates, that was not a huge deal. It was still a factor, but it was not a huge deal. But now, over the past year, when we've been running 7 to 9% inflation, that becomes a bigger deal. That's a few billion dollars at least of this projected surplus. Not the one that's already in the bank, but of this other $5.6 billion, two to $3 billion of that might be because inflation has not been factored in.
They need to include inflation again, right? It will give the legislators and more importantly, the public, a better idea where we're at. Because guess what? Inflation, we've had a couple months now where it's given us a little bit, I repeat, a little bit of a better indication, but it's a part of life. And so to act like it isn't a part of this money is nonsense.
Yeah, and the reason it was done was at a time of recurring budget deficits, and yeah. This made those deficits not look as bad,
right?
Because
yes.
You know, you weren't factoring in inflation, but it's disingenuous, and it's not honest budgeting. But on the other hand, some politicians will argue, well, we shouldn't just assume that every government program automatically deserves an inflationary increase. This mm-hmm. forces us every couple of years to take a look, you know, line item by line item. Okay, how much do they really need? How effective has that program been, or how effective is this program? And so it does give you the opportunity, you know, to reassess where you stand. But again, you can do that even if you factor in inflation. You can still do that same exercise. Mostly this was a shell game to make things look better at a time of deficits. Probably now with high inflation, probably a good time. And it was talked about today by the governor and legislative leaders, all Democrats, by the way. I would expect that will be taken out of state law and that future budget forecasts will include inflation.
Our friend Tom Hauser talking about just this staggering amount of a surplus we have, $17.6 billion. So a number of legislative leaders spoke today, and obviously the governor. What we expected, the Democrats are going to say this, the Republicans are going to say this. Did anything in particular stand out, was atypical in some way?
Well, the fact that the governor did not rule out tax increases, which most people will look at a $17.6 billion yeah. surplus and go, well, what do you mean you're not yes. going to rule out raising
right.
our taxes when we have this much? But there is some nuance to this, and he didn't come right out and say it, although he was asked about it. The reason he's hedging on that a little bit is that if paid family leave is passed into law, it will likely have some kind of a payroll tax to pay for that in ongoing years. That's not a one-time spending thing. It's going to need, you know, taxes from businesses, from individuals, to pay for this benefit. So that might be one of the reasons why he was hedging. Another thing that I was a little surprised by is that there seems to be some walking back of the total elimination of the Social Security income tax cut.
Mm.
The governor says, I agreed to it last May, but Republicans rejected that, and as well as a broader deal. And so now it's open to negotiation. He is opposed, although he could probably be convinced otherwise, to totally eliminating it, because that means the wealthiest Minnesotans who get Social Security, which is a drop in the bucket to them, they would also have their taxes forgiven and or eliminated, and that money could be used to pay for programs for seniors and others. And so he
sure.
kind of walked that back a little bit, and then incoming Senate Majority Leader Kerry Dedzic walked it back even further and said, we've got 14 new members. We're going to have hearings. We'll talk about that. And then there's also some, believe it or not, some disagreement on whether or not the rebates should happen that the governor proposed last year. You may recall, neither the House or the Senate, and that was when the House was Democrats, Republicans controlled the Senate, they did not agree to
yeah.
those tax rebates.
Mm-mm.
And now the Democrats control everything. It still sounds like the legislature is lukewarm to it, although the governor said he's going to have it as part of his budget in January.
Okay, let's pause on that, Tom. We'll take a short break, because plenty of people who are listening, who live in this state, I don't fault them for a second. The first default is $17.6 billion. Give me either a check or give me a portion of what I wrote and pay me back in that manner. Is that going to happen in some way? We'll expand on it. Tom obviously just talked about it, but let's get to it in more depth. And you text me right now. We had a slew of these texts. if you could pick one area, just one area where you want this $17.6 billion to go, and by the way, that includes yourself, right? That can include climate change, that can include the Social Security tax, whatever it might be. If there's just one area where this money should go, where is it? Text me, 651-461-9226. Seems a bit harsh. I mean, and he's a friend of mine. That hurts. 21 past 2, Chad Hartman with Tom Hauser from Channel 5. Okay, Tom, for the folks, and a lot of texts coming in again, and plenty are saying, I want my money back. I either want a check, or, you know what, I want a percentage of what I paid in the last 2 years, and I want that sent back to me. For those folks who feel that way, what is the likelihood that their wish is going to be granted?
That's a two-part answer to that question. I think the likelihood is good that there will be a rebate. I think the governor will prevail since he is the head of the DFL party, and the DFL party controls both the House and the Senate. Even if they have some misgivings about it in the House and Senate, I think they will ultimately go along with the governor. However, I think the legislature will weigh in with some income limitations on those rebates that will not sit well with a lot of people, many of whom have been appearing on Twitter today saying, I want the portion, as you said, that I contributed toward this surplus back.
Yep.
And some of those people might be outside these income limits. I forget exactly what they were. I think the adjusted gross limits were maybe 150 per 150,000 per family and 75,000 per individual. And that, again, that's adjusted gross. So, or adjusted income, your gross income could be higher than that. But I forget the exact numbers. But the bottom line is there's going to be a lot of people who will say, I've paid a lot of taxes to this state, who will not get a rebate if there are strict income limitations. And that may be the compromise the legislature works out with the governor.
Okay, so let's stay with compromise here. Tim Walz won. He won decisively. They have a majority of what? One? Is one in the Senate? Is that right?
Yes. Yep, one in the Senate.
And then in the House, it's a little bit more, but it's not huge.
Yeah, I think it's six. It's not a
six.
Huge margin. Yep. Yeah.
Right. So if they keep all the votes, if they want to, they can just run the table. They can do whatever they want. What is the likelihood that Governor Walz will engage in significant, substantial, bipartisan, not just dialogue, Tom, but in the end results versus, hey, it's a cliche, but it's true. Elections have consequences, and we're going to do what we want to do.
You know, I don't think that's the approach the governor is going to take. In fact, he kind of addressed that today by saying when he was in Congress, he served in a minority. He's been in that position before, and he thinks their voices should be heard. Now, how much of an impact they'll have on the final numbers remains to be seen. But some of the lawmakers, the DFL leadership, was a little more strident in talking about,
yep,
what we got the trifecta, we earned the trifecta, we're going to use the trifecta. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what they said. But again, they've got to keep everybody in line, because you got to remember, for all 134 members of the House, their election day, their next election day is 23 months away. That's not very long. And if you don't give back enough in a tax rebate and those types of things, these voters are going to remember that, and the 2024 elections, believe it or not, are right around the corner. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic.
Let's talk about crime. Getting a number of texts on that. Crime is an issue throughout this country. You have states. If you look at it a statewide basis, there are more states who have more murders that Donald Trump won. But if you look at the cities where a lot of those murders take place, they are mainly run by Democrats in areas that voted for Joe Biden. Minneapolis, St. Paul have significant issues. So does a lot of this state. How much of this money, in a larger way than the number that was debated last session, will go directly to law enforcement so people will see results and we all will be living in a safer state?
Two things about that. When you look at those murder totals, you always have to look at per capita. And obviously the big cities that are generally run by Democrats are going to have more murders in terms of a raw number, but you got to look at the per capita to get a true reflection of that. But your point is correct. Crime is up. Murders are up. It is a problem. In the budget deal that was rejected last May by Senate Republicans, I believe the number that was in there was $300 million for public safety, but not all of it for police. Some of it was going to go to community groups to help with intervention and those types of things before crimes can happen. I do expect that $300 million number should go up significantly. And I would also guess that the amount of money directly going to police to help them recruit and retain and pay for more police officers will also go up. But that will be the subject of very vigorous debate. I have no question about that.
Let's say, as we chat with Tom Hauser at 227 on CCO, this was outgoing Governor Walz having this press conference, and also today, incoming Governor-elect Scott Jensen was having a press conference. If it's Scott Jensen, how much of this money do you think would be going back to taxpayers directly? Would that have lived up to as much as he talked about? And clearly, when he got involved the end of last legislative session, it wasn't just him. Let's be clear about it. But he talking to prime legislative leaders, Republicans saying, hold on a second, let's wait till I win and we give more of this money back. What's your feeling about how different this might be?
Well, we'll never know because it's a hypothetical, but my guess is he would likely have gone for a major restructuring of the tax code, including maybe not as far as what he talked about in the campaign trail, where he was criticized pretty harshly about eliminating the income tax and doing a lot of really things that are just not doable. Let's put it that way. But I think
can I just jump in that? He didn't even flesh it out. He would say, "Well, I'm just theorizing." That was the part. I mean, if you're going to raise an idea like that, Tom, what baffled me there is have some data, show practically what it can do. But when he's theorizing, then I think a lot of people said just what your educated comments. You just can't do it. You don't have the mechanism to replace that money.
I mean, you could do it, but you'd have to phase it in over like 20 years. So it's not like something that's going to happen overnight. Sure. And that's why it was probably a mistake to raise that specter. But my guess is, at a minimum, his fallback position was going to be what Republicans' fallback position usually is: across-the-board income tax cuts. And there may have been some rebate component, just because that's very popular. It's been popular since Jesse Ventura was governor. It's still popular now. In all of our polling, it's popular among Democrats, Republicans, independents. So there probably would have been some rebate, but then there would have been a broad tax cut that would have impacted likely every Minnesotan. With Democrats in control, I don't see really any tax cuts other than at a minimum on the margins on Social Security income, and that's really probably about it in terms of tax cuts that they're going to be willing to entertain. Although the governor did talk about child tax credits, some of those things that would be aimed more at low and middle income.
Yeah, and I don't agree. I think we should look at more tax cuts in this situation, but I don't think they're calling me. At this point, my phone is not ringing. You know,
well,
I'll let
you
know.
Get a hold of you. You give out your phone number all the time, so they can call you at any time.
That is correct. Thank you, sir. I'll be watching you tonight with a voluminous reporting on. We are calling this Hauser money. That's what we call this on the show. $17.6 billion Hauser money.
I did propose just having them write me a check for $17.6 billion. Then I'd sit out in my driveway, and people could come up and make their case for how much of it they think they should get. And I'd be happy to dole it out that way.
Yeah, good luck on that one.
They did not take me up on that idea.
No, I don't
right?
think so.
I'll be on tonight at 5 and 6 from the state capitol.
Excellent. Tom Hauser with us. It is time for me, if you wonder sometimes why I go a little bit longer this segment, I'm waiting for Q to get off the bus. My boy is going to finish transition school later this month, and life is going to change dramatically. But this is the main reason why I'm home, and Quinny gets off the bus at this time, so we try to time it out. That's why Rusty jumps in with the weather, and I can get Q set up. So you do what you do. Hopefully you listen to these fine spots. Enjoy the traffic and weather, and we're going to talk some TV, including news on the passing of Kirstie Alley yesterday, her impact on Cheers, and it makes me think of just all-time iconic TV. That's coming up next on Dave Harrigan's radio station, WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.